We're now turning in the Word of the Lord to the passage we read in the book of the prophet Isaiah, and particularly to Isaiah chapter 44, where our text for today and our motto text for this year is found. But before we consider the Lord's Word to our hearts, let us look to the Lord once again in prayer and seek the help of the Holy Spirit. Most loving and gracious Father, we praise Thee for the Word that is now open before us. And Lord, we pray over this Word, and we pray that today we might hear Thy voice. We pray, our God, that indeed we might listen for the voice of God. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Lord, let us hear what Thou, the Lord God, hast to say to us today. May Thy Word be an encouragement to us. May it be food for our souls. And as we consider the Word, may we consider the Word incarnate, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, fill us with Thy Spirit and with power, that we might preach the Word and bring glory and honor to Thy holy name. For it is in and through Thy precious, wonderful name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 44, and our text for today and our motto text for this year is the verse 3, a verse that has been very much upon my heart over these recent months, words that we have often quoted in our seasons of prayer. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. So we can see that we have here a promise that involves the whole family. A promise of blessing upon us as individuals. A promise of blessing upon our children. Now there can be no doubt that we have here before us a promise made to God's ancient people, namely the Jews. Whatever their sins may have been, God hath not cast them off forever. They have become like the dry and thirsty desert. But the day will yet dawn when God's sovereign love shall visit them again. When he shall pour out his Spirit upon them. And their eyes shall be opened to behold the returning Messiah. And that word, the word of the prophet, spoken by Isaiah and quoted by Paul in Romans 11, will be fulfilled. For there Paul says in verses 26 and 27, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So while the words of our text apply primarily to Israel, Yet they may also be applied to the church, the Israel of God. As Paul has also said in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. And what a promise this is. One we will be happy to claim as our own. For it is made to a people, you will notice, who have been favored by the Lord. Twice in the first two verses, we find the word chosen. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. And there at the latter end of verse 2, fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. So the promise is to a chosen people, a people chosen by the Lord, from all the sons of Adam. The Lord chose for himself a people for whom the Savior came to die. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And as Paul has reminded us in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so, dear Christian, we can see that the words of this promise, our text is directed at a chosen people, a people who have been favored by the Lord. And every one of us today who are saved by sovereign grace know that we have been chosen by the Lord before the foundation of the world. We have been favored by the Lord. And to his favored people, he says this, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. But not only is this word, this promise, to a people favored by the Lord, it is also for a people who have been formed by the Lord. Once again, look at verse 2. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. My, what a favored people we are. Favored by the Lord, chosen by him. Now this promise is given to us, to a people formed by the Lord and helped by the Lord. The word formed there means fashioned. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and fashioned thee. He has made us what we are, and he's fashioning us into the image of his own dear Son. That's the work of sanctification. We are being fashioned, molded, formed into the image of His dear Son. That, of course, is our prayer, that we might be more like the Lord. Look at chapter 43 and verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee or fashioned thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Look in this same chapter in verse 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Once again, it is emphasized that the Spirit or the Lord has made us and He's forming us. So the promises are to those who have the Lord working in them, forming them or fashioning them into what He wants us to be. But notice further that the promise is to those who know the fondness of the Lord. Verse 2 again. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Jeshurun means the darling upright. It's a name that the Lord has given to His people. For He's addressing Israel and He calls them Jeshurun. The word is found four times in Scripture. It is a name for the people of Israel, apparently expressing affection and tenderness. So here in this word, the Lord expresses His love and affection for His people. We are the Lord's Jeshurun. We are His darling. And because He loves us so, He is ready to pour out upon us His blessing. What a privileged and honored and favored people we are. That God is ready, because of His love for us, to pour out His blessing upon us. And dear Christian, as we press forward into this year, let us look at this Armado text and see what the Lord has in store for us. See here what He is promising us. Promising us as a church. Promising us as individuals. What He is promising us and what He has promised for our children. He has promised, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. What a promise this is. It is wide, it is deep, it is full. Let us claim this promise in this year 2008 as a church. When you look at these words, the words of this text, we see here referred to, there is an act referred to. The prophet speaks about an act, namely the pouring out of water and the flooding of the dry ground and the pouring out of the Spirit upon our seed and upon our offspring. Now this is something which man cannot do. So what we have here then is first of all an act of God. I. And who is speaking? The Lord, the King of Israel. The Lord is speaking. The one who says, I am the first and the last. The one who says, beside me there is no God. He is speaking. And so what we have here is an act of God. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. God has promised to pour out his spirit. So we can see now what this text is about. The Lord pouring out his spirit upon his people. He likens this to the thirsty receiving water. He likens this to the floods being poured out upon and covering the dry ground. Now you will notice the order. Notice carefully the order. First of all, he says, I will pour out. And when he says, I will pour out water, and then he says, I will pour out my spirit, he's likening the pouring out of the spirit as to the pouring out of water. The whole verse means the same thing. God pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us. But notice the order. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. There must be the pouring out of the spirit before there's the blessing. The pouring out of the spirit of God is followed by the blessing of God. And is there one of us here who doesn't want the blessing of God? I don't believe so. I believe every child of God wants the blessing of God upon our church, upon us as individuals, and upon our children. What will we be if we have not the blessing of God? If we want to know and experience the blessing of God upon our work here, we need the pouring out of the Spirit of God. And that is an act of God. God must work amongst us. God must work in us. It's an act of God. Only God can heal our backsliding. Only God can stir our hearts. Only God can give us a little reviving. Only God can restore the years the locusts have eaten. Only God can make the barren fruitful. It's an act of God. And he has promised to do it by his Spirit. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Isaiah 32 verse 15. The Spirit be poured out, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. It's an act of God. We cannot work up revival. We cannot demand revival. The reviving of our hearts and the reviving of our church and the reviving of our nation is an act and a work of God. And we will not know true fruitfulness until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high and the wilderness be a fruitful field. For you see, only God can cause the desert to blossom as the rose. And yes, this blessing must come from above. It will not come from within. Look at the chapter 43, verse 19. of Isaiah, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." That's something man cannot do. God's work. "The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the isles, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen." It's an act of God. And if we are to know the blessing, if we are to know blessing in our work and our witness here, we need an act of God. We need God to come and pour out His Spirit upon us. But not only is it an act of God, it is also an act of grace. The Lord said to the people, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will bless your children." We ask ourselves the question, did Israel deserve this? Did Israel deserve this act of God, this favor? The answer is no. Not at all. If we look at what has gone before, we can see that they most certainly did not deserve this favor. So if God was going to bless them by His Spirit, it would be an act of grace. We see in chapter 43, as we read this morning, how Israel had grieved the Lord by their backsliding, their sins and their iniquities. Look at verse 22 where we began our reading. Isaiah 43 verse 22. The Lord says, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. But thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." You know, there are some, I believe, who profess to know the Lord. And they're almost sorry that they made a profession. Because they have got away from the Lord. And their profession is like a millstone around their neck. They have to keep up a certain appearance. And they grow weary. Weary of the Lord. They're not living out and out for God. They're not enjoying the life of the Christian. "This people have I formed for myself," the Lord said. "They shall show forth my praise, but thou hast not called upon me. Thou hast not prayed unto me. Thou hast not looked to me. Thou hast not cried to me, but thou hast been weary of me." People had grown weary of the Lord. What a sad state of affairs. What an awful spiritual state to be in. Is anyone here in this meeting this morning in this spiritual state? Weary of the Lord. Weary of His Word. Weary of His place of worship. If there is, today would be a good day to get that put right. Once again, to be in tune with the Lord. And instead of being weary of the Lord, to enjoy the Lord. Instead of being weary of His Word, no desire to read the Word. No desire to study the Word. Instead of being weary of the Lord, the good day to put things right with God, this first Sabbath of the new year. and to tell the Lord that indeed you have been weary of Him, but you want to get right with Him and to enjoy Him again. And so we see what this people was like. And yet the Lord says, I will pour water upon him who is thirsty. I will bless you and I will bless your children. In the light of what we have just read in chapter 43, did they deserve that blessing? Not at all. It's an act of grace. And look at what the Lord said in verse 25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. There's grace. And the Lord says, I'll forgive your sins. I'll blot out your iniquities. And I'll bless you. And dear hearer this morning, you can have your transgressions blotted out. You can have your sins and your iniquities washed away, never to be remembered against you anymore. And what's in store then? Blessing. Blessing is in store. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. The Lord is saying, I will pour my Spirit upon you. And I will bless you and I will bless your children. That indeed is an act of grace. It is favor unmerited, undeserved. And this is indeed what we need as a church. Need God to be favorable. This the Lord has promised to do. For the psalmist has written in Psalm 102 verse 13, Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. How long have we been waiting for that set time? Maybe 2008 is the set time. Because we know that God is a God of order. And he has his set time to visit Zion, to favor her. And maybe 2008 is the year in which God favors us with an outpouring of his Spirit. Let us pray as the psalmist prayed. Psalm 119, verse 58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Will you do that? Dear Christian, dear member of this church, will you with me entreat the Lord? Will you with me seek the Lord with your whole heart? I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. It was the prayer of the psalmist. Will we make that our prayer? Or will we continue through this year? Weary of the Lord. Weary of the Lord. Not only do we have here an act, we have also an assurance. We have the assurance of the Lord, yet now, hear, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. I will, there's the assurance, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my blessing upon thy seed. I will. I'll do it. There's the assurance. Twice over, the Lord said, I will do this. Two, we know is the number of witnesses. And here the Lord is bearing witness to his promise. I will do it. Here the Lord is assuring us that he will do it. It's a definite promise. Here is, first of all, a definite promise. There is one thing that we certainly know about the Lord. One thing that is not in dispute. And that is, the Lord always keeps his word. What a frustrated, disappointed, disillusioned people we would be if the Lord were to set promises before us and never keep them. But we know that that is not what he does, and that is not true. For how many times has the Lord said to us, I will. And we have proven the truth that the Lord always keeps his word. If he says, I will, then he will do it. You remember that first I will that you encountered? That you and I encountered? And we can stand up today and testify and say, the Lord kept his word. That first I will, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord said, come. And he gave us that enabling grace to come to him. And what did we find when we came to him? Rest. Because that's what he promised. And what he promised, he gave. What he promised, he did. I will. And at the same time, we received another I will. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And we came with our sin, our shame and our iniquities. And we wondered, will the Lord have a sinner like me? And we took the Lord at his word. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And we proved his word to be true. He did not cast us out. But he received us and welcomed us with open arms. Based on past experiences, based on the fact that our trust and our faith is in the God who cannot lie, we can expect God to do what he has promised. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And believer, if we keep this word before us throughout this year, then we can go through each day in the spirit of expectancy because God has said, I will pour out my spirit upon you. We can look forward to each prayer meeting with expectancy because God has said, I will. Pour out my spirit. We can prepare for each Sabbath day, looking to the heavens for that cloud the size of a man's hand, because God has said, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Believer, let us lay hold on this promise. And like Abraham, stagger not at the promise of God through unbelief, but be strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he has promised, he is able also to perform. Do you believe that? I do. I do. I believe God is able to do what He has promised. Not only is He here a definite promise, there's a defined promise. Here the Lord defines for us what exactly He will do. He says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. The thirsty man needs water to quench his thirst. Now it would be pointless giving to a man who's dying of thirst, giving him a loaf of bread. The bread may satisfy any hunger he has, but it'll not quench his thirst. There'll be no point giving to a man who was dying of thirst a book to read. It may further his knowledge and education, but it'll not quench his thirst. There's no point giving to a dying man a handful of silver. It's worthless to him. He'd cast the same in your teeth, and he would cry out, it's water I need. And the Lord says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. So here we see that the Lord has promised to give us what our souls thirst for. An outpouring of his Holy Spirit. The Lord knows what we need and he has promised to give us what we need. The thirsty man needs water. The dry ground needs the floods. The church needs the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit. Some try to substitute the Holy Spirit with something else. What do they tell us today? They say, oh, it's new methods the church needs. More programs. That's what the church needs.